So turn your Bibles, please, in Proverbs 21, verse 1. Proverbs 21, verse 1. And let's all stand, please, as we give honor to the Word of God. The Bible says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." Now turn with me in Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28. Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you have given to us. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we pray that you will fill us with your spirit, and Lord, fill us with your word that we can use on a day-to-day basis. And Lord, we pray that you will equip us, Lord, and strengthen us, and allow us, Lord, to know more about you. And Lord, we pray that you will bless this message this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated, please. Now, Pastor Charlie asked me to bring this message that I preach at the National Baptist Fellowship meetings at Adelaide. And so, that's why I decided to preach this message, God's Sovereignty in Our Suffering. We do not know what will happen this year. I hope that everything is good, but we don't know. We don't know. So, it's important that we are equipped with the Word of God so that we can use when troubles come. God's sovereignty in our suffering. Now, I want us to think about God's sovereignty in our suffering. There are those who quickly disclaim God as a sovereign or total rule. Total rule God, because there is so much suffering in the world he supposedly controls. Most would quickly agree that God is sovereign over nature. We know that the tsunami in Japan, which cost many lives, thousands of lives, and the earthquake in Indonesia, and the floodings in the Philippines, and last October, when we were in Adelaide, it was just 1 week after, no, 1 week after the severe cyclone in Adelaide, and the NBF is just 1 week after. And so God is sovereign over nature. No, most would quickly agree that God is sovereign over nature, but not as quick to relinquish total control to God over humans. Now, after all, are not we free moral agents to choose as we wish? Are not we free moral agents to choose as we wish. Now, God's sovereignty over men. So the question in the midst of God's sovereignty and our suffering is God in control? Is God in control? Is He in control part of the time or all of the time? Does He really control the affairs of men? In Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. So from this verse, we learn that from the strongest to the weakest, God has a controlling power over all, whether we recognize it or not. Okay? So we will learn that from the strongest to the weakest, God has a controlling power over all, whether we recognize it or not. So all must move before His sovereign influence. In Exodus 34:23 and 24, there's an example here in the Old Testament. Thrice in the year shall all your men, children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in a year. Now, think for a moment that if all the men of the nation went before the Lord, that would mean that all the nation's defenses were down. See it? And no one would be guarding against enemy attacks. They would be in a vulnerable situation. But God, in His sovereignty, promised that no enemy will even desire them in the times of coming before the Lord. This paints a beautiful picture of we can trust God in His sovereignty over our lives. We can trust Him even in the face of adversity, of great times of suffering. Take the life of Joseph. You know, Joseph, he suffered, but God is in control. In Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 and 20, and Joseph said unto them, he was speaking to his siblings, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto what? Good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, Joseph's brother acted on their own choosing. Isn't it? Like they, like us, were free moral agents to choose and do. However, as we will see, God chose in His sovereignty to bless Joseph in his hardship. Now, in 2005, my only daughter, my favorite daughter, in 2005, she was diagnosed with brain tumor. And on February 2005, she had two surgeries. then cycles of chemotherapy and cycles of radiotherapy. Now you know how it's like when it's your daughter who was diagnosed with such a serious sickness. And she's not even well during the time, and the effect of the chemotherapy is it's very nasty. But in 2006, in June, I was brought to the hospital dying. I was brought to the emergency dying, and the doctors, I had this headache for 2 weeks, and the doctors cannot find what is wrong with me. So I was brought to the hospital dying, and I had an emergency surgery in my brain because of the fluid buildup. And later on, they found out that it was meningitis, bacterial meningitis. And my neurologist said that she had 2 cases of this meningitis, and the other one, sadly, passed away. And I was in the hospital for 6 months straight. And for the first 3 months, the doctor said, there's no hope. They cannot say that I will survive. I was paralyzed on the right side, and I cannot talk. I cannot even pray. I cannot even speak a word. I don't recognize my children. And there are many visitors that would come and say hi, but I don't recognize them. The only one that I recognize is my wife. So 6 months straight in the hospital. I have to undergo physiotherapy and speech therapy. And so I was in a wheelchair, and from the bed to the wheelchair, to the dining, to the toilet. But praise God that I was able to stand. I was able to walk. Only for a short distance. But when we go out, I usually have my wheelchair. So the first few years, I was able to preach and preach sitting down. But praise God that today I can preach standing up. Now, in Genesis chapter 50, 19:20, and Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, from these scriptures, we can gain a perspective on God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty can restrain evil, but He doesn't always choose to do so. Okay? God's sovereignty can restrain evil, but He doesn't always choose to do so. You know, I surrendered my life in 1997 to be a missionary. Back in the Philippines, we have our own business. I have my drivers, I have my children have nannies, and we have helpers in the home, and we have comfortable in the Philippines. But God called me to be a missionary here in Australia. So I was thinking, Lord, I'm doing your will. Why is it that you allow these things to happen in our life? Is it normal to ask that question? But God's sovereignty can restrain evil, but He doesn't always choose to do so. Why? Then God's sovereignty works out His plan even in when we choose differently. Okay? God's sovereignty works out His plan even in when we choose differently. Then God's sovereignty doesn't mean we will not experience pain and suffering. God knows that I'm going to suffer. God knows that there is so much pain. You know, with my daughter, there is that emotional pain. Much more painful than what I have experienced. Then, God's sovereignty does make a difference in everyday life. God's sovereignty does make a difference in everyday life. Now, we need to understand that God's sovereignty is working in our behalf. God's sovereignty is working in our behalf. Now, do we understand? Do we understand, or can we understand? Or at least trying to understand that God is sovereign in the affairs of men who help us in our time of need. This is where Romans 8:28 comes in. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we know. Today, we like to appear full of knowledge, and we catch ourselves saying the foolish words, I knew that. Isn't it? Especially the young people. When you talk to them, oh, I knew that. But in the midst of suffering, Can we say we know God is at work? Can we say we know God is at work? Many want to know God only on an experiential level. The experiences of life teach about God. And as true as that may be, we all have the tendency to lend the experiential knowledge to the good times. To the good times. When the bad times hit, we often go about wondering, where is God? Where is God? We need to know God by the way of His Word, the Bible, as well as through our experiences, which says, my experiences had better line up with God's Word. Colonel Howard Rutledge writes in his book, In the Presence of Mine Enemies, that the greatest thing that kept him strong in the Korean POW camp was the bits and pieces of scripture from God's Word he has learned as a child. And Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So it's knowing God's Word. And you know, I lose my memory. Now, all the places that I've been in America, I've been in Singapore, I've been in Cambodia, and all these places, I don't remember. I have a brother in Houston, Texas, and I've been to his house, and I don't remember his house. It kept coming back, the people that I met before. But the places and the events, I cannot remember. But why am I still a pastor today? Because God's Word. This is stored in my soul. Amen. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Then all things work together for good. All things work together for good. We can quickly dismiss the idea that all things are good. Those who dismiss God as sovereign point a blaming finger at God for allowing bad things to happen. However, we must reconcile the fact that because God is sovereign, He is involved in all things. In all things concerning our lives. He is all-knowing as well as being all-involved. And because He is involved in all things, He desires to work good in our lives. Genesis 50:20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Countless stories could be told of the good God work in the lives of those who found themselves in times of suffering. There's a man who said, "There is never a time when we can say that God is not both good and doing good. When God allows events that may be evil in themselves to come upon us, that is not the end of the matter. It is not the end of the matter, but the beginning." But the beginning. Then, to those who love God, and there, this is really the question for all of us. Do we really love God? Do we really love God? Do you love God? Do you love God enough to trust Him as sovereign over your life? Do you love God enough to be able to say, "I don't understand. I don't understand, but I trust Him. I trust Him because I know He desires good in my life." Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. No? We pray for patience, and we want it now. Isn't it? "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Too often, the knee-jerk reaction is, "I quit. I quit. In times of suffering, we must continue to love God. We must continue to love God by doing what He says to do. The calling of God is without repentance." Right? When God called us to be a missionary, He never repented. And so up to now, even if there's a disability, I can still preach. When I had this speech therapist, because I cannot talk, I have several sessions. And my therapist said, last session, I don't have any more to use for your session. And she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm a preacher." And she said, "That is why." There was a time that I cannot talk, but now I don't stop talking. Too often the knee-jerk reaction is, "I quit." But in times of suffering, we must continue to love God by doing what He says to do. To those who love God, they will abound with a heart full of assurance. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Then, the last part, who called according to His purpose. Called according to His purpose. With God being sovereign, it declares He has a plan of purpose. We have to look no further than the cross. What is the purpose in the cross? God's sovereign purpose is to be reconciled to man, is discovered in the midst of Christ's suffering. Do you know Johnny Erickson Tada? He said, "God chose and Jesus willed at that moment on the cross to fulfill the sovereign plan of God and allow the complete purposes of suffering to hold sway." You know, Johnny was neck down, is paralyzed. But she said, "God chose and Jesus willed at that moment on the cross to fulfill the sovereign plan of God." In Acts 2:23, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." So purpose in the cross. And then purpose in calling. Purpose in calling. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, "In whom also ye have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, "Who had saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world begun. So God has given us, an inheritance through Christ Jesus, which also see us through the times of suffering in our lives. So, when somebody asks you, "How are you today? How are you today?" What are you going to say? Good? How good? We answer them by the grace of God. By the grace of God. We are only existing here by the grace of God. Isn't it? And the purpose of purpose. In Job 42, verses 1 and 2, then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholded from thee." And that no thought can be withholden from thee. So, I will declare now, I do not, and cannot always understand the purposes of God. But because His word assures me of His sovereignty, I can trust Him and love Him. God's sovereignty ought to make a difference in our lives, especially in our times of suffering. One more time, let me give you God's word to be stored away for a time of uncertainty. I said, this new year, we cannot say that everything will be good. Or we can say everything will be bad. There's so much uncertainty, right? We do not know what will happen tomorrow. But God knows. Matthew chapter 10. And verse 31. We are living in a year of uncertainty. This is an assurance. In Matthew 10:31, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many." What? Sparrows. Do you know a sparrow? A little bird. "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." God's sovereignty ought to make a difference in our lives. Tonight, if you will come, I will preach to you how to be thankful. Amen. How to be thankful. Amen. Knowing that God's sovereignty will make a difference in our lives, we can be thankful. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for the word that we have received today. Lord, we thank you for being a sovereign God, total control. Total control of our lives. Lord, I pray that you will instill this to our minds and to our hearts. And through that, we can face the uncertainties of tomorrow. We pray, O God, that you bless the invitation. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that. The Bible says in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen." I think one of the ways that we can exalt God in this world that really blasphemes God, hates God, is when we respond to the trials of life well. The Bible says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Man, look what's going on with that person, and they're praising God and they speak well of God. Man, that does something, and they want to know, how? Why? Because of the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts. And experiencing that work on the cross. Don't lose focus. Keep your eyes on the cross. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And He'll give you the grace to see you through it. We are not only called to believe on Him, but to suffer with Him. Can I just say that even if we weren't saved, we'll still go through the sufferings of life. Yes. But now, as believers, we have Him there in the boat with us when the storm comes. Wow, what a privilege. You know, the disciple says, "Don't you care? We're going to perish." And if anyone cares, it's Christ. And so at times, the storms of life will shake our faith. We need to trust in the one, the author and the finisher of our faith, and look to Him when they do come. Amen? I want to just close with this special. I couldn't stop listening to it last night, again this morning. And maybe as you hear this special, you can close your eyes, bow your head, pour out your heart to the Lord. God knows what you're going through. A lot of people may not understand or know, or even yourself, what you're going through, but He does. And sometimes we just need to be still.